Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to Stephen. Beautiful spending time today with my share Aryeh Perlman and Oren Finkel. And I wish everyone a wonderful and healthy summer. So we begin as a recap of Parshas Pinchas. And I heard a nice part tonight in Shul, so I thought it would be nice to kick off with that. And then I was going to first I'm going to talk about consistency, then I'm going to talk about peer pressure, and then I'm going to talk about judgments versus jealousy. So topic number one is that we know that when Shabbos for Thomas occurred, the 17th day of Thomas, which was last week, there were five things, several things that occurred on that day. Number one, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, Apas Thomas burned the Sefer Torah, and in addition, there was also the cessation of the Karban Tumid. So the Karban Tumid, as we know, was brought in the morning and in the afternoon. But, you know, we ask ourselves, like, what's the big deal about the Karban Tumid? Why is that such a big deal? Obviously, burning the Sefer Torah and breaching the walls of Yerushalayim sounds far more serious. So why is that brought up? So we know that the Gemara brings down a machlokas with Rav Shimon ben Pazi and some other Rabbanim about what is the Rabbi Kiva, for example, what is the most important pasuk in the entire Torah? So the first explanation is that we say that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is clearly number one. And number two was offered was V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And number three is, so I can understand number one and two, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Yes, of course. But why is the third one so important? So my good friend Shmuel Moge explained that it talks about consistency, that we lost a symbol of consistency and continuity. And I think that's very very significant for us to discuss because we say this Gemara in Shabbos actually brings down that a person should have, up until he's 40 years of age, he should have bread. His diet should consist of bread. And then afterwards, it should not consist of any more bread, but rather wine. So what's the difference between the two? We know that when someone takes bread out of the oven, it's delicious, it's fresh. But if it sits long on the table or overnight, it could turn into a brick or a missile. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same attractiveness. But wine is the opposite. Wine is only best when it's aged. So there are two ways of approaching learning and mitzvos and masa tovim. A person can say that I'll do all the mitzvos and masa tovim when I'm young, and when I retire, I'll be able to enjoy my life the way I want. And then the other is, no, you know, I'm too busy working right now when I'm young, but when I get much older, that's when I'll sit down and do all daf yomi, and I'll continue my learning then, but now I'm too busy working. So the message of the pasuk of Eslakev Eslachat Aser Baboker, that refers to our youth. That's the time when we have to learn. As Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya once said, that if somebody learns Torah, it's like writing, it's like putting ink on fresh parchment. And when a person learns when he's much older, he explains it's like putting ink on aged parchment. It doesn't retain itself so well. The ink, however pure and however beautiful the ink may be, because it's being written on a very old piece of paper, it doesn't have the same beautiful reflection, or doesn't look as gorgeous as it could look if it was written on a brand new piece of paper. So a person should obviously learn when he's young. And then the message is equally just as strong, that Taseh ben Arabayim, consistency, continuity. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two is that we know from this week's parsha, there's a good deal of peer pressure going on over here. The story is that Pinchas was the grandson of Putiel, who was also known as Yisro, because his father, Elazar, married one of Yisro's daughters, much like Moshe had done. So Aaron's son, which was Moshe, so they were also brothers-in-law, because they both married sisters. They both married two of the daughters of Yisro. And when Pinchas approached this camp, there were soldiers from Zimri's tribe of Shimon protecting the tent where Zimri was with Kazvi, and they mocked him, and they said, hey, you know, you're Ben Putzi, you're the grandson of the guy who fattens idols, fattens cows for idol worship. What are you doing over here? Now, most of the time, when somebody is taunted like that, they usually stand down, they back off, because then they start to think to themselves, am I really that, you know, religious, that I can do something? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Pinchas a special koach, and as the Medrash Rabbah brings down, 13 nisim, 13 miracles occurred when Pinchas entered. First, they did not spot the dagger that he had been concealing. That would have been Chayav Misa for him. Number two, he managed to get inside the room where they both were, and there's a, obviously there's a directive. We have a mitzvah in the Torah that if somebody, God forbid, comes to hurt you, Hashkim Lahargo. That's exactly what defense is all about. So Pinchas had a right to defend himself, and had he killed Pinchas at that, Zimri had a right to defend himself, and had he killed Pinchas at that moment, he would have been justified. The third, obviously, was that he impaled them on the sword, and then number four was that he was able to carry them on the sword. Number five, none of the people attacked him when he walked outside. Number six, he threw down Zimri and Kazvi on the sword. So there was, like, the Medrash brings down that there was many, many miracles that were happening at the same time. But despite his heroic action, the angels, the Malachim, were upset with him because he said, because of these, Alayla, because of these, 24,000 Jews have to die. So not only did he rebuke the peer pressure of his time, of his age, he stood up and on principle, and he did what he felt was just. Now, the question of today, of tonight is, would we laud like Pinchas today if he were to do this act? Probably people would say maybe not, right? We would say, no, a zealot is not something that we recognize today. We're more pacifist, we're more liberal, we're much more democratic, and we're not interested in people taking law into their own hands. But at the moment when all this happened, we have to ask ourselves, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking of us, and how did Pinchas respond? It says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heishibes Hamasi, Bikanoes Kinasi, Belokilizias ben Yisrael, Bikinasi. So this word Kinasi, or Kina, is found twice or three times in one pasuk. I can't remember exactly because I'm driving right now. But the pasuk clearly refers to Kina. So the question is, how do you define Kina? So some people will say jealous. Right? Jealousy is kinna. Some people define it as zealotry, rash, impulsive. These are not really great words. But let me try to explain how the word kinna may mean jealousy. But according to the Kedushas Levi, it means judgment. The pasuk says, Atzakana Rachel ba'achosa, that Rachel had kinnas on her sister. So you can translate and say, yeah, Rachel was jealous of Leah. Leah had children, Rachel didn't, so she was jealous. No, that's not what it means. Don't tell me that Rachel was jealous of her sister, Rachel Imenu, who is a tzaddikus. She's not jealous of her sister. Rather, she judged her sister favorably. As the Medrash brings down, my sister has chusam. She has merits. I don't know what they are, but whatever it is, she merited to have four beautiful children. I don't have those children. I like to have them. I like to have my own. So maybe I can learn from my sister. I could be malamei zchus, and I can see the benefit. I can find the goodness. I can judge favorably. 9 times out of 10, when we judge someone, we're judging them unfavorably. And when we judge someone unfavorably, it always comes back to haunt us. We see somebody who is not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, he doesn't do what he's supposed to be doing, and yet he's living the life of Riley. He's doing everything that he can to enjoy himself. Oh my God. No, there's a car right behind me that's really, really, really tight. One second, let me try to get out of this lane. Okay. I forgot where I was right now. I think what I was trying to say was that when somebody is jealous, it's never a good outcome. So we see over here that Pinchas was acting as lieutenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When something bad happens, Hashem is not looking, for the people Hashem is looking for the people that are going to stand up and do what they got to do, right? So Pinchas judged in concert with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. It is far better for man to take command of this world than HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of meeting out punishment. And because if we do it, then we have a better sense of control. But if God does it, then we're really at Hashem's mercy. And it takes a little bit longer to unwind that. So Pinchas judged in accordance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachel judged in accordance, and she judged favorably her sister. And as a result, he was Heshev es Hamasi. He retracted the anger. Says the Vilna Gaon, when somebody, what is the Hamasi? Hamasi is four letters. It is Ches Mem Taf Yud. And we see that in the middle there is Mace. So there was a Kitchuk of Misa while Znus was occurring, while immorality was being practiced. It was the Kitchuk of Misa. So, and what's on the outside of Mace? Chai, life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Pinchas to Heshev es Hamasi. Through his actions, he retracted the anger. He made a little bit of buffer and separated the two letters of Mem and Tav. And we see this also exemplified in the opposite way. That we say, Tzaka Tatsal Mimagas, that when someone gives charity, they save a life. And so how do we see that in the word Machzit? Machzit is, a Tzadi is in the middle, and then you have Ches and Yud surrounding the Tzadi, and then you have a Mem and a Tav on the outside. So the tzedakah draws near the chayim and pushes away the misa. Shol Mizokah, we think about Pinchas, and we say that Pinchas is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the one that comes to have you bris. And ask yourself the question, why is it of all of the legendary Tanayim, Amarayim, and there were so many great people, do we pick Eliyahu Anavi, who's also Pinchas, to come to the bris? And the answer is very simple. It's what we discussed tonight. That we hope that this child, when that child is faced with challenges, and there are many influences that drive the child away or could push the child away from doing what's right, they stand on principle just like Pinchas did. And they do what they got to do because why? That's the one who's lauded. And so today we ask ourselves, would we laud someone who acted like Pinchas? And who is the Pinchas of today? The Pinchas of today is the guy who jumps in the middle of the night to help somebody in need, a Hatzalah member. That's your Pinchas of today. He's rash, he's impulsive, bless you, he's rash and impulsive, but he's rash and impulsive for a positive reason. He's doing God's work, he's saving lives. The person who jumps onto the railroad tracks and pulls someone to safety, that's the Pinchas of today. The person who sees somebody who needs emotional, spiritual, physical, mental health assistance and gives it willingly, freely, and without any precondition, that's the Pinchas of today. We see people that are struggling or in danger, physical danger, and whenever these people come to assistance, that's the Pinchas of today. So we have so many examples of people that are rash and impulsive, but what are they really doing? Are they jealous? No. Absolutely not. That's not the way we're defining kina. They are judging the situation, and they are favorably responding in the most positive way. And that's, God willing, what we need in our youth. That's what we need in our future. That's the reason why Pinchas, Ze Eliyahu, is the one that comes to every single bris to remind us, to remind our youth, our children, that when they grow up, they should be able to do these tremendous mitzvos and masim tovim with just from the heart. And they're doing it for other people. They're not doing it for their own benefit. They're doing it strictly l'shem shemayim. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless all of us with a richas yamim, b'shanim tovim, and I bless everybody, and I wish everybody a wonderful, happy, and successful week, and all the very best. Mordechai Plotzker, signing off from the New York State Thruway. Have a great night, everybody.